And you read, and they even come out and say how life is hopeless and meaningless. We're just some accident in the universe, and man has no meaning whatsoever. So there is no way to find meaning in life from them. No way to find meaning at all. And so that is something that Solomon says. Man's own knowledge, like science, cannot tell us where we came from. It's incapable of doing that. Science can't tell us who we are. It can't tell us who God is. It can't tell us about our ultimate destination. None of those things are possible from science. Solomon discovered that several thousand years ago. He says, that's not where you look for real knowledge and meaning. Says you can't. Says it's not there. The only wisdom that's really wisdom comes from God. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12, note these two verses. Ecclesiastes 12, verses 9 and 10. And moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yes, he pondered and set out and set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought to find acceptable words, and what was written was upright words of truth. The words of the wise are like goads, and the words of scholars are like well-driven nails given by one shepherd. Again, talking about knowledge based upon God, real wisdom. And of course, we know we have many of those proverbs that Solomon set out for us. Those proverbs, if followed, will allow us to live the kind of life that God accepts. Often advanced education brings sorrow to one's spiritual condition. The list goes on and on and on of Christians who lost their faith when they pursued degrees. Many human teachings, many human philosophies, agnosticism, relativism, naturalism, they all contradict God's Word. Every one of them. All of those things bring sorrow to people's life. There is no meaning in any of those things. Again, just look at the lives of people who don't believe in God, don't believe in the Bible, don't believe in eternal destination. Their lives are empty and meaningless. True wisdom, based upon God, He's the focal point, that wisdom tells us what the meaning of life is. Paul wrote about something similar to this in Romans chapter 1 when he addresses the church there in Rome. Romans chapter 1, verse 24, Paul writes, therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie. See, that's what they did. That's where they went wrong. They exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who's blessed forever. Amen. That's what they did. That's where they went wrong. They were following this world and its teaching and its wisdom and turned away from God. Solomon said, there's nothing there. There's no substance. There's no real substance there at all. And so our world today seems to be making gods of themselves. Solomon says meaning is not in worldly wisdom. Number two, Solomon searched for meaning in worldly pleasures. Ecclesiastes 2, verse 1. I said in my heart, come now, I will test you with mirth. Therefore enjoy pleasure. But surely this also was vanity. Verse 3, I searched in my heart how to gratify my flesh with wine, while guiding my heart with wisdom, and how to lay hold on folly, till I might see what was good for the sons of men to do under heaven all the days of their lives. Then verse 10, whatever my eyes desired, I did not keep from them. I did not withhold my heart from any pleasure, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my reward from all my labor. Remember, Solomon was able to indulge in every form of worldly pleasure. You name it, he could do it to the nth degree. he ruled the world, basically, at the time. He was the wealthiest man in the world, owned more property than anybody in the world. So he could search for meaning in all of these pleasures far more than anybody else could. And people are still doing the exact same thing. They're still trying to find meaning in worldly pleasures. New thrills, new adventures, new entertainment. And of course, what they're doing is bowing down to the God of pleasure. That's exactly what they're doing. The inspired writer John declared that those things are passing away and there's more to life than this. In 1 John chapter 2, John tells us about how this is passing away. 1 John chapter 2, and notice verse 17. After talking about the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, he says, "And the world is passing away, and the lust of it, the sensual desires of it, the pleasures of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever." John says those things are fleeting, they're temporary, they're passing away, but doing the will of God is what it's about. And that's what Solomon ends up discovering along his journey. There wasn't meaning in life in worldly wisdom. He says there's not meaning in worldly pleasures either. He says in verse 2 of Ecclesiastes 2, "I said of laughter, madness, and of mirth, what does it accomplish? Laughter and fun cannot be the basis for our lives." But yet, since the beginning of time, people have tried to find meaning in those very things. Try to have as much fun as possible. Enjoy as many lust as possible. Participate in as much pleasure as possible. There was nothing serious about their lives. Solomon says that's not meaning. That's not real meaning. He says those things are madness. Solomon says life is not one big joke. Says that's not what life is. It's not one big joke. Some live to be entertained. Some live to pursue pleasure. And of course, some, and one of the most popular ways for millennia, has been alcohol. Just like he mentions there in verse 3. He says, "I searched in my heart how to gratify my flesh with wine." That's been one of the ways that people have tried to pursue happiness and laughter and fun and so forth, is through that very thing. Wine, alcohol. It's long been associated with worldly pleasures. And it probably always will be. The same writer over in the book of Proverbs, back in the book of Proverbs, 23, says this, verses 31 and 32. Says, "Do not look on the wine when it's red, when it sparkles in the cup, when it swirls around smoothly. At the last, it bites like a serpent and stings like a viper." Same writer. Says that's what you need to be aware of. Wine, alcohol is not the place to find it. That type of pleasure is very short-lived. Very short-lived. And it soon turns against them. Says it stings, it bites like a snake. So Solomon said the meaning of life is not in worldly pleasures either. And then he searches for it in worldly wealth. Chapter 2, verse 4. "I made my works great. I built myself houses and planted myself vineyards. I made myself gardens and orchards, and I planted all kinds of fruit trees in them. I made myself water pools from which to water the growing trees of the grove. I acquired male and female servants and had servants born in my house. Yes, I had greater possessions of herds and flocks than all who were in Jerusalem before me. I also gathered for myself silver and gold and the special treasures of kings and of the provinces. I acquired male and female singers, the delights of the sons of men, and musical instruments of all kinds. So I became great and excelled more than all who were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained with me." Besides all of those things that he acquired, he also built the great temple. He built a magnificent palace for himself. He built cities throughout the kingdom. He had it made. I mean, he was, after all, the king. He was the king. And so for at least part of his life, he sought fulfillment and meaning in materialism, in having those things. And again, he had them to a degree that most people could not even imagine. Notice the outcome, verse 11. Then I looked on all the works that my hands had done and all the labor in which I had toiled, and indeed all was vanity and grasping for the wind. There was no profit under the sun. There was nothing good, he said, about living in this world for this world. He said there's no meaning there. There's no good there at all. It simply doesn't exist. In chapter 5 of Ecclesiastes, beginning in verse 10, Solomon says this, "He who loves silver will not be satisfied with silver, nor he who loves abundance with increase. This also is vanity. When goods increase, they increase who eat them. So what profit have the owners except to see them with their eyes? The sleep of a laboring man is sweet, whether he eats little or much, but the abundance of the rich will not permit him to sleep." Meaning was not found in wealth. Says the meaning of life is not in how much you acquire, in how much you have. He was miserable in the midst of all of these luxuries. Very much like the rich young ruler in Matthew 19. This was a pretty good guy, the rich young ruler was. He was a pretty good guy. But his life centered on not following God, but putting more trust in his riches. Jesus was able to see to his heart and saw that's what was wrong. So he said, in your case, you know what you need to do? Go sell everything that you have. Well, if your whole meaning in life is centered on those things, if that's what your life's about, then you can't give that up. And so that's why he couldn't. Solomon tried and failed to find meaning in life through wisdom, worldly pleasure, worldly wealth. He even reached the point where he despaired of life. Notice chapter 2, verse 17. All his days he also eats in darkness. And that was 5:17. 2:17. Therefore I hated life because the work that was done under the sun was distressing to me, for all is vanity and grasping for the wind. Notice what he says. I hated life. I hated life. It was distressing. Why? Because he was doing it under the sun. Wasn't doing it for God. Wasn't doing it for God's glory or any of those things. He was doing it in this world for the things of the world and not for God. And so he said, all of that is vanity and it's grasping for the wind. Ultimately, he says, you have nothing. Meaning is not in worldly wisdom. It's not in pleasures. It's not in wealth. He says, none of those things. But the book ends on a positive note, because he does discover the meaning of life through his journeys. And that's found in Ecclesiastes 12. Because he ends up by saying, in verse 13, he says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. He says, let's sum it all up. I've looked for all these things in the world. He says, this is the meaning of life. Fear God and keep His commandments. For this is man's all. King James says, for this is the whole duty of man. This is what it's all about, in other words. That's, from my understanding, that's what the original Hebrew means. This is what it's all about. So we can have this book of 1,000 pages on the outside of it. It says the meaning of life. You turn to page 1, fear God and keep His commandments. That's it. That's what life is about, Solomon said. Fear, respect, revere, be in awe of God, and obey His commandments. He says that's what it's all about. That's the meaning of life. That's the most important truth anybody can ever discover in our world. Yeah, there are a lot of people searching for why we're here and what's life about and what am I to do. It all comes down to that. That's what Solomon said. Solomon said, I've done it all. I've got the answer. All you have to do is listen, fear God, and keep His commandments. That's the meaning of life. Most people, unfortunately, never discover that because they look in all the wrong places. They look in all the wrong places. Solomon revealed for us what it's all about. All we have to do is trust and obey. Trust and obey. Tonight, if you need to respond to that marvelous, wonderful gospel invitation, God's mercy is available, then we want to encourage you to come and act upon that now as we stand and sing this song.